It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another Laker Hockey Talk. Bill Crawford, along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Whitten, talking Laker hockey. And we've got Alaska coming in this weekend, and I don't know how much you know about the Nanooks, Damon, but let's talk about that series since it's coming up this Friday night. We got to be ready to play. Played a pretty good series against Michigan, and we'll get into that in a few minutes, but we got to be ready now for the Nanooks, and they haven't won yet, but they're always tough, and they'll skate hard, they'll play hard. We better be ready to play.
Well, you know, a couple of things that stick out, and we've been able to spend a good amount of time watching them. They're coming off a bye week, so, you know, we got to go back a couple of weeks to their film, but first and foremost, you know, they might have had the most difficult schedule in the season thus far, you know, and most of that's been on the road, but they've played 21 ranked Arizona State, the next team up in the polls, you know, the third ranked team St. Cloud, fifth ranked team Mankato. I think I'm missing one more in there, but their schedule,
Denver.
Yeah, and Denver as well, at Denver. So their schedule has been unbelievably difficult. You know, they went through a coaching change and some late changes there as well, and you know, probably not you know, quite where they want to be roster wise. But there's players there that have played in our league. They've got a tremendous freshman defenseman in Jandrick, his older brother's on the team as well. That again, every week the teams we've played, they seem to be led by an elite defenseman, and Fairbanks is no different, with Jandrick having a great start to his freshman year there. So they're desperate. They're hungry. They're very battle-tested with the teams they've played. They do some really good things, you know, looking at their power play breakout. They gave Denver fits, easy zone access there. They haven't converted much on the power play, and it's been a challenge more in the zone for them. But coming up the ice, they throw a lot of things at you, and you know, we want to make sure we're not allowing them to get in our zone easily. But it's WCHA play, you know, and I don't care what conference you're in, where you're playing. There's so much parity at our level, really every level, that every game's a battle and a challenge. And if you're not ready to play, you're going to lose. And you know, we've got to put Michigan behind us. We've got to put the sellout crowds behind us, and be ready to come in and earn everything we get. It's been a real good week so far in practice. Our guys and our group have been really good that way. Whether we win games or lose games or sweep or split, we've come out Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and worked to get better, and it's been no different this week. So we feel good about where we're at, and now Friday night we have to have that energy and that ability to win our battles.
Are the Lakers full strength for this weekend? Do we have all hands on board and all the goaltending, etc., that we're going to need?
We'll have a game time decision or two coming up, coming out of the Michigan series. You mentioned throughout the week and on the radio show on Tuesday that a couple guys left the ice during the game. They returned to the game that night, so nothing overly serious, but a couple minor injuries that we're kind of monitoring and see if they'll be ready to play or not.
All righty. So the Nanooks will be coming in here. It'll be 7 o'clock game time. Good to get back to 7 o'clock. That 7:30 game time drives me nuts. But anyway, we had to do that for Alumni Weekend and the Alumni Dinner on Friday night, the Great Lakes State Weekend. But and that was a big success. And we talked about that on Tuesday night. Let's hit it again. It's homecoming virtually here at Lake Superior State, and I thought things went really well. We had good weather. Everything was pretty well attended, and certainly there was no shortage of things to do.
Yeah, no, a lot. It's a big weekend for Lake State, you know, not only welcoming a lot of our alumni back from all sports and non-athletes as well, and just showcasing, you know, the progress that's being made. You know, our new Sims Center over with the nursing program is just an amazing facility, and going through there and people showcasing that to potential new students. So just so much. I know our other athletic teams use it as a real big recruiting weekend for them to bring in and show the energy and you know, our campus and how great it looks. So it's a great weekend. Obviously, to go listen to Darren and Mark and our other inductees into the Hall of Fame, you know, really unique experience to hear the great stories about their time here and the impact they had on Lake State, and the impact Lake State had on them is really special. One of the highlights was Saturday morning. Darren and Mark came in about 11:30 and addressed the team, and you know, had a chance to just again talk about their time at Lake State, and they both came away impressed with our maturity in our locker room. We were able to present them with one of our gold jerseys as just a token of our appreciation, but just a real special weekend, a real special moment. So great to share it with those guys, and you know, one of the things I want to do is follow that up with an email out to all of our Laker hockey alumni, a couple pictures with Darren and Mark, and just you know, let letting them know how much they all mean to us, and trying to continue to build our cohesiveness with our alumni.
Yeah, those two guys, Darren Madeley and Mark Astley, a very big part of a national championship team here at the D1 level in 1991-92. They were on some other really good teams as well. And two of the real classy guys who've come out of this program, I would imagine they had some good words of wisdom for the players. The players would have respect for them because they're national champions. They can look up on the wall in the dressing room and see that 92 was one of those national championships. Three of them at the D1, two at the NAIA level. And Lake Superior State's done a good job there for a small public university, the smallest public school playing Division I ice hockey. And we've got three national championships and four title games. That's unbelievable to me sometimes when I think about it. But I suppose those guys had some great things to say. And we had Will Riedel join us on the show on Tuesday down at the Antlers. And you get an idea when you talk to these young guys that they do have some reverence there. They do appreciate the fact that, and he talked in glowing terms about the chemistry on this year's team. He thinks it's better than it's been.
Yeah, well, no question. I mean, we've spent a lot. I mean, you can, a lot of time, a lot of energy of, you know, paying homage to our those who came before us, and whether they're national champions or made the NHL or just laid the, you know, laid the foundation for this program. And it's funny having Darren and Mark in, you know, and they've been around a little bit, the induction of the 92 team, but, you know, they get to talk about how they dressed on the other side. And I think one of our players made the comment that, you know, we're getting some of the benefits or reaping the rewards for what they built, you know, the new facility and our locker room, our amenities were all because of what those guys did. So our guys are well aware of that. And again, around the rink, we put a lot up in terms of, you know, our championship wall, our NHL wall, in our locker room. We've got the years of when national championships were won. Our guys walk by Mark and Darren every day on our NHL wall. So it's really important to honor that in our program. And again, we've worked hard to try to show that. Those of you who made the games and are in town, our new entryway, you know, we've got our Hobie Baker candidates. We've got that cradle of coaches, you know, the coaches that have come through and built this thing, starting with Coach Mason through Coach Comley and Frank and Jeff. And so, our history is really important to our program. And so Will, you know, talked about that a little bit. But currently, as you mentioned, it's a really good group. We've got a real good chemistry going on. We've got tremendous leadership. Our guys have done a real good job, you know, leading this program this year and taking accountability within. So we're really excited about this team and where we're headed. You know, you mentioned the games this week, and I thought it was tremendous nights of hockey. Obviously, the only disappointing part was not getting the win on Saturday night, but, you know, we're sitting 7-1, and it's been a good start, and we got to continue that. This weekend, we'll mark our 10-game segment, and that was a big point for us Monday when we addressed the team, try to wrap up the weekend, look ahead. You know, we've got a chance to finish our first 10-game segment in a real strong way, and you know, everything else is over. Merrimack's over. Michigan's over. Friday night's coming up, and we've got to be ready for Friday night.
Yeah, we're back to WCHA play. The Nanooks are always tough. I don't care if they don't have a player that anybody's ever heard of before in the lineup, and they do have some good players in their lineup. And it's really tough to sweep at any level. I think we saw that this past weekend. We win 5-2 against Michigan on Friday, get beat 5-3 on Saturday. It looked like two different games, really, the way it went about. But it's tough to sweep. And I mean, you got to sweep down in Huntsville, and that's great for the Lakers. 2 1-goal victories. But, you know, this, you can't take anything for granted. The Nanooks are going to be really tough this weekend.
Yeah, no question. Even at Merrimack, too, you know, the sweep out there on the road, it's especially difficult. You know, you're not getting matchups, you're mixing in travel, you know, limited roster to choose from, things like that. So it
first
is
games of the season.
First games. You know, Huntsville had the six NCAA games to our two, so they were a little bit more game ready and game season, things like that. So, you know, we're kind of through that now that we got the games under our belt. So I think our speed, our game conditioning's in a pretty good spot. And you know, part of what we want to do is get on them early. They're coming off the bye week. They have to travel down here. They'll be fresh and rested, but we hope there's a touch of rust there and that we can have a tremendous start, get our crowd into it. That's one of the things we didn't do Saturday night. We took that early penalty and had to kill a penalty 30 seconds of the game, gave them some life and some momentum. You know, they go up 2-0 and our crowd's out of it. That late goal first period off the faceoff got our crowd back into it. But, you know, and we love the support. You know, our guys were just so jacked up to walk in and see the crowd and hear the crowd. And, you know, it's going to be tough to maybe sustain that coming off a Great Lakes State weekend. But if you're listening, make sure you get your tickets. This is a real good group of hockey players. It's going to be a great matchup. You know, we're playing an exciting, fast-paced game, and I know everybody who leaves, you know, is very entertained and has fun there. So come on out and get your tickets for Friday night.
All righty, you're listening to Laker Hockey Talk this morning. It's Thursday. Damon Witten and I talking Laker hockey. Want to remind everybody that it is Veterans Day coming up this Sunday, the 11th, and on Monday, the 12th, down at the Antlers, one of our major sponsors and where we do the Laker Hockey Show every Tuesday night. They're having a Heroes Surf and Turf Buffet. It's free to all veterans, active military, and first responders. Again, that's on Monday from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Antlers. Salad rolls, mashed potatoes, vegetables, cod, and sirloin steak. And it's all free to veterans and to first responders. And that's at the Antlers this coming Monday to recognize Veterans Day on Sunday. And we're going to take a break here in our show this morning. Damon and I will be right back, and we'll be talking more Laker hockey on ESPN 1400.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation. But did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success.
Hi, this is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk. Bill Crawford, Damon Witten talking Laker hockey. The Alaska Nanooks come in this weekend for a two-game series against Lake Superior State. And, you know, there was a lot of talk last week, Damon, on the negative side about the raising ticket prices, things like that, Michigan coming in. That didn't affect anything. Those were tremendous crowds. 3,100 people on Friday night, 3,875, which I think is a record crowd at Able Arena for that game on Saturday night. So, you know, people don't mind. They'll spend some money if they're going to see some good hockey, and they certainly saw great hockey this weekend, especially Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, no, it was great hockey for sure. You know, and that's one of the challenges of running the department, and you know, administratively making some of those tough decisions. Obviously, it's a premium game, and you know, we've got some work to do. You know, in terms of you know, getting more financial support for our program, not only in hockey but across athletics. And so it's just one of those decisions that, you know, we know we're going to hear some things about it, and that's just part of you know, running a department or running a team. You know, there's a lot of things that aren't positive you hear, and you got to kind of, you know, handle and manage. And you know, a decision was made to do that, and so we do appreciate, you know, people coming out and supporting it. It's not easy. We understand it's a very competitive environment for your entertainment dollars, and you know, hopefully people felt the value in making that decision, because as you mentioned, they were a great hockey game. So and again, our players felt that and responded appropriately. So those are tough sometimes, but it was good to have Michigan up. You know, Mel and I had some good conversations about trying to continue this series. We got to finish this current contract next year down in Ann Arbor, and then you know, looking to the future. And Mel was real positive about wanting to continue to play teams in state. I think that experience certainly helped our case to continue that series. I think Michigan came up and got better because of the weekend. You know, I think if you go somewhere and you don't feel like there was a benefit to your team, you're not going to be real keen on maybe rescheduling something like that. But not only you know, a clean series, a hard-fought series, great crowd. So I think, you know, Coach Pearson will leave here saying that was really beneficial to our program. We're a better team now for having come up here. And, you know, that typically helps. Sometimes you want to schedule some games. You know, Penn State may be a little bit different model where they just want to play at home and bring in some opponents and buy games. But, you know, hopefully we'll keep that series going with the University of Michigan.
Yeah, you talked a few minutes ago about being a good opportunity to do some recruiting this weekend too, because of the huge crowds and some of the other teams involved too. Volleyball was playing. playing. We had basketball practicing, if nothing else. So did we get anything out of it? Did we have any young guys in this weekend, recruits, et cetera? And how did things go there?
You know what? We had a little bit, but not as much as you'd like, because, and we've talked about this once or twice as well in some other shows, but in today's world, in the junior hockey circuit, players don't miss games anymore. You know, 10 years ago and before that.
That's because coaches' jobs are on the line.
It's not so much development anymore at the junior hockey level. You're exactly right. If you don't win, you're getting let go in the USHL and the North American League and everywhere else. So it's really changed. Again, 10 years ago, you know, you could miss your Friday night game or your Saturday night game, come up, do a visit, catch a game. But in today's world, a lot of visits happen Sunday night and Monday. So, you know, you miss your Monday practice maybe, but you're back for Tuesday ready to play. So it's really changed. We were able to get a couple guys up, and those were positive, but not as much as you used to be, which is kind of disappointing in some ways.
Yeah, and we don't need a whole heck of a lot for next year. We're losing four seniors, all of whom are really good players and very good leadership people, but we've got a lot of people in the queue now. We've had commitments for a number of years, young guys who are playing junior. I think at Dustin Mann's out in BC right now. We have others as well we can bring in here. So it's not like we need to run out and find three forwards and a goalie for next year. We've got Roman Bengert waiting and doing a really good job. He can play goal, there's no doubt about it. So we don't really need a whole heck of a lot. And your coaching staff has made the decision, we don't want to commit 35 people to have 20.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, I think, you know, a decision about how you run your program and trying to treat kids the right way and be you know, open and honest in your process. You know, you can look at some teams and they're cutting 4 to 6 kids per year, or not honoring the agreement they've made, and that's not a way that you know, I'd like to operate. And it's going to happen occasionally because you maybe expect some underclassmen to sign, and so occasionally I can see it happening. But some of the schools have made such a process of oversigning that it's just not something I'm comfortable with doing and in the way we want to operate. So we'll try to avoid that as best we can. But as you mentioned, it's not a big class, so we don't anticipate a real big class coming in. We have some flight risk with some NHL interest on a couple guys, and so we'll continue to monitor that. And obviously a lot of that will be based on the way their season goes. If they continue to play well and play at a high level, you can maybe start to plan a little bit more accordingly that they might depart. And I think the other side, you know, some schools have done a really good job of waiting and keeping money and spots open until the end of the year when these schools who are overcommitting and oversigning are chopping these guys off, you know. And a lot of schools are, you know, giving a kid a 75% scholarship and then they mail and it's 25%. And they're saying, hang on, what's going on? And so it's not a bad thing to have some space and some money available late as well. But we like where we're at. Our guys are playing well. A lot of guys in leadership positions, which we really, really like, that they'll come in and be leaders on their team, not just, you know, from a scoring point of view, but also, you know, helping teams handle the ups and downs of the season and providing that leadership as well. So we like our class, you know, and we like our returners, you know, guys like Gelsinger and Humitz and, you know, the sophomores, but the freshmen as well. They've come in and done a good job. We talked Tuesday night about, you know, maybe a lack of points right now for a couple of freshmen, but we're a couple of weeks into this and they're still adjusting, but there's some hockey players in that class. So we like where we're at and we're going to continue to, you know, try to make the right decisions to keep moving forward.
Yeah, we talked on Tuesday a little bit about it and some of the fans had questions, and I see things online about it all the time. Lakers are getting most of their production out of their top two lines. Well, you know, so is the University of Michigan with a really top-notch hockey team. They got that Josh Norris, Jake Slaker, and Will Lockwood line, and they do all the scoring for them. They scored, what, 6 out of 7 goals this past weekend, 2 on the power play, 1 shorthanded, and 4 even strength. I mean, you know, that's a team that's got all sorts of depth, and Lake Superior is getting really good production out of two lines right now, and it's early in the season. And I still think that Calder and Violette and Owen Guy are going to be good, and if maybe they need maybe McKay on a wing or something there to help them right now, I don't know. That's your answer, not mine, but I think those kids are going to be good players. They've shown me they've gotten better every game. I notice them a lot.
Yeah, no, except we're very comfortable with where they're at. You know, it's probably never ideal to roll a line of 3 freshmen. I know I can go back to my college days. We played, we had a line of 3 freshmen until an injury late in the year changed some things. But, you know, not ideal. It'd be nice to, like you said, maybe a Brendan McKay or somebody who can add a little bit more experience and help them handle the ups and downs of a game. But it's a talented line, and, you know, teams win with their top guys. You know, your seniors, your juniors, juniors. You know, you look at the Red Wings glory years. You look at Pittsburgh, at Sidney Crosby and Malkin, and you look at Ovechkin. You know, your top guys have to lead you and do the job. And so you're right. It's not surprising to see, you know, the Norris line lead Michigan or our top lines. These guys have been around. Their experience. That's why you want to have juniors and seniors so they can lead you and rely on that. So not surprised at all. You know, yeah, would it be nice to have more secondary scoring? Yes, it would. I think we can get that and will get that. I think the Ambrosio lines played really well, and there may be more tasks with being a little bit more of a shutdown line and, you know, an energy line to flip momentum and wear some teams down, and they've done a really good job of that as well. So it'll come. We're in a good spot. We like our depth, and we like where our team's headed here.
Well, it'll be interesting this weekend. A lot of fans and people who follow the game closely and people online, blah, 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 they want to see two victories this weekend. They think if the Lakers are really a good team, they're going to beat this Alaska team twice. Well, you know, I said earlier, it's not easy to sweep. There's a lot of parity in college hockey. And Denver was lucky they got wins against, and they didn't win both games. They tied one of them against this Alaska team. So, you know, these are proud teams, and we're going to see a lot of blue and yellow gold this weekend. Their uniforms very much match up to Lake Superior's, and it's going to be a battle. It's not going to be easy, and I wouldn't be surprised if it isn't a split series, although it would be great to get two wins.
Well, no question. I mean, you know, we're always disappointed if we don't, you know, win the game in front of us. We don't go into in a weekend, you know, talking about the sweep or winning two games. You go into the weekend worried about Friday night and being prepared. And, you know, again, we want to be who we are. We have an identity and a structure in place that, for the most part, that's who we are. Now, we're going to make some tweaks and some adjustments based on our pre-scout areas that we think we can take advantage of and some opportunities we have against them. And then also some of the challenges that they present. We want to make sure we're prepared for that as well. But for the most part, we're going to be who we are. And Friday nights, you know, the only thing we're worried about, that first 20 minutes, come out, get a good start. Don't allow them to get their legs underneath them and coming off their bye week. And, you know, that's the sole focus. You know, if you can get that done, and then it's that quick turnaround. You enjoy that for a little bit, and then it's the adjustments you make going into Saturday night. But certainly the expectation, you know, is that we win hockey games. You know, it doesn't matter who you're playing, where you're at. You know, you can look at the records and say, yeah, as a fan, you certainly want that, and that's our goal. But singular focus just to worry about Friday night at this point.
Yeah, and it's going to be a tough series no matter what, and then we go down to Bowling Green. We didn't mention it yet, but the Rookie of the Week this past week in the WCHA was a Laker player, the defenseman, Jacob Nordquist, had another good weekend with a goal, a game-winning goal on Friday night, and two assists, 3 points on the weekend. He's been a real pleasant surprise for the fans and for the people who follow the team closely. Physically, he's got a long way to go yet to be strong at this level physically, but boy, he's got skills and he has good hockey sense, and he's a really good player. He had a great assist on the Nellis goal on Saturday night.
Yeah, and you know, the hockey sense is a key. You know, Jacob is an undersized defenseman like a lot are, you know, in the college level and the NHL level, and so you're going to defend differently than a Steven Ruggiero who's 6'3", 6'4", and, you know, and take guys on man-on-man. Jacob does it with an elite stick, defensive stick, poking pucks, you know, body positioning, so smart, so elusive that it doesn't take a lot of big hits there. And as he gets stronger, you know, and a little bit more physically mature, it's going to even pay bigger dividends. But a very good player, you know, having a great start to his career here. And I thought the other end of it, you know, probably got robbed a little bit by Anthony Nellis, who led the WCHA in points this week, I think third nationally. He got beat out a little bit out of Mankato, I believe it was, Girard's, because they swept a team. You know, to me, it's an individual award and probably should have gone to Nellis, but that's okay. He'll have to have an even better weekend to get recognized this week. So a real strong performance by Anthony Nellis as well.
Yeah, Anthony had 2 goals, 3 assists on the weekend. Girard had 4 points, and yet because they swept Minnesota, he gets the award. But that's the way it goes. Anthony has already had a couple of awards. He's done a good job so far this season, picking up right where he left off with a strong second half last year. Let's hope he has a great weekend this weekend. We're out of time here this morning. We got it taken care of. It doesn't take long to get through this show. Damon, thanks for being here, going out of your way to get this done, and good luck this weekend against the Nanooks.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. And again, just want to see everybody out Friday night. It means a lot to us. It was unbelievable last weekend, and looking forward to another great crowd Friday night. Thanks, and have a great Thursday.
Alrighty, that's Laker Hockey Talk, another one ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400, brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.